Good morning, Graham. Thank you so much for being up and about and ready for this. I thought I'd sent the email last night and I hadn't. My bad.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you very much. I would blame the heat, but I dare say legions of people are doing that.
Yeah, but heat is the problem, I think. Yeah.
How's it affecting you?
Not too bad. Well, I keep cool.
Being an architect and a climate change guru, you know exactly how to do this to best effect.
Yeah, it's always difficult to explain to people that it's not always best to have the windows open. You want to keep the cold in as well as keeping the heat in during the winter.
The assumption, isn't it, is that we generate heat all the time, which I suppose we do, particularly if we're moving around a bit in an office, say. Yet we retain some. Well, I mean, what about the state of air conditioning in public environments these days? I mean, I would have thought it takes serious design. A lot of people criticize it on planes, for example.
Well, people don't realize the air conditioning value of lawns and trees.
Ah, holistic thinking, how wonderful.
Well, it's evaporative cooling that the trees are carrying out as much as the machines. And you need a sort of 100 square meters lawn does the work of an air conditioner in a house, for instance.
It's one of the features of modern planning, I suppose, is that gardens in London, if you have one, are literally strips of grass, on which you could have a layer of plant pots or something like that, grow some herbs, and that's considered a garden in modern sort of estate agent parlance. And yet you're making a claim for the greening of cities. I remember Cologne, for example, Boston, I think, is also spoken of as it's being ringed by greenery quite intentionally.
It makes a huge difference. And it's been shown to make social difference as well.
Yeah.
People aren't as violent towards each other if they don't have a violent surface. They're not surrounded by violent surfaces like concrete.
Literally the concrete jungle. It's that
Concrete
stark in
jungle,
its
yeah, absolutely.
implications. Yeah.
It's physical, it's not just a sort of metaphor. I mean, it shouldn't be called a jungle, really, because jungles, of course, are air conditioned.
I think it's done with a heavy sense of irony, aren't they?
Yeah.
And long may they
Right.
remain so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it should make the point. Like Ed Davey falling into the sewage to emphasize the sewage. I mean, it's a very brave thing for him to do, really.
I think you had some correspondence with him, didn't you, about the optics of these occasions?
Well, that's right. I mean, no, I met him at a fair once, a science fair. We had a brief conversation, yeah.
Well,
And he was saying about experts, that the experts knew more than the politicians, and Lord somebody or other was the first person politician to actually say that to me.
as
After a brief conversation, he said, "Oh, well, you know far more about this than I do." And it was a kind of shock that the Minister of Energy didn't know more than I did. Because you kind of assume if someone's a minister of something, they know a lot about
It's
it.
sort of, yes, Minister, isn't it? Because you have to be across your brief, and you've usually got 20 minutes before you make your maiden speech when you're appointed, you know.
Right.
And it's this, I suppose it's you could be a generalist and know a little about a lot of things. But I mean, I think I put myself in that category if I were being wildly optimistic. But there's nothing to replace in-depth thought and indeed practice in an area, is there? And it seems quite baffling to me that anybody should disregard that sort of expertise, of which we are, well, the Lord's, of course, is a repository, isn't it?
And of course, it's the myth of AI that AI is going to do all this work. It's not. It can't, because it can only copy. It can't originate, and that's the myth of
Yeah.
the high tech companies are simply salesmen. They're selling their product and overemphasizing its benefits.
Yeah, it's everywhere, isn't it? You find little entries if you're doing a wiki search or something. But when we get to the wiki bit, there's a little bit of a commentary from AA in terms of this is what you could have won, and it's not typically all that impressive, it has to be said. But
And
yeah,
that's right.
no.
It's always not as quite as good as you thought it was going to be.
Quite exactly, particularly if you know quite a lot about the area that's purported to be covered. Speaking of which, there was a this is a very late runner here, but there's a report in you guessed it, the Daily Express, about something called UK and the Changing Europe. And before it actually it restrains itself from saying "ban this filth," but it quotes a chap called Joël Bardin, if I remember rightly, who's the author of a report that says Britain is re-entering Europe by the back door by conceding to various regulatory conventions, and that this will still stand because we are party or in agreement with certain trade deals Europe is pursuing, Pan-Mediterranean being one. And there's another in some far-flung territory. So, do you feel that your long for and you're not certainly not alone in this vision of just ticking the box that says revoke Article 50 is going to happen by other means, or could it?
Well, of course it could, because we can just remake all the treaties in a different way. But I think it's an important point of principle that it should be recognized, what Putin and Farage did to the country. They turned it against the law, against international law. That's what they want to come out of Europe for, is to be against the law. They didn't want to be told what to do by Europe. In other words, not by international law. And that is the fundamental principle on which the world runs, is this separation of powers between law and the Constitution. And that's why Europe was the highest form of civilization, is because it managed to get all the ex-empires to become an empire themselves. by consent and not by imposition. Like Israel is imposing itself on Palestine as a colony.
That's
So
such an yes, you express that so elegantly. Of course, it's a Churchillian idea in origin, isn't it? I think, well, not exclusively him.
well, the benefit of a Europe,
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
yeah.
Yeah, and Thatcher and Churchill realized this, you know.
Yeah. Just the talk of an old couple there, indeed. Yeah. Now, there is this thing at the moment, is there, that Europe has been tilting to the right, and it's been emphasizing its role in defense, specifically with regard to Ukraine. And Macron has been doing something slightly different. The German Chancellor has been with Starmer this week, and there's talk, for example, of a London-Berlin direct train link in the works and so forth. So, I mean, the movements to get that is one thing, but also the right would tilt. And presumably, if Britain were to rejoin the EU, we would see a tranche of reform MEPs, or at least attempts to place them in Europe, giving us the greatest hits.
Well, I think reform has got enough time to fizzle out before the next election. I mean, that's what I'm hoping, and I think it will fizzle out because as they get elected, it's de demonstrably they're in de demonstrably incapable of running anything.
Which some people will say it's a positive boon. I mean, it's the Hayekian small government, Ayn Rand thing, isn't it?
Well, and this is the battle that's going on. And this is the problem. Every generation has to rediscover, what freedom and democracy are. And obviously, people don't understand it, right? So,
Yeah.
they're
Lived
being,
experience is required. Yeah.
and that's the danger of being led by demagogues, is that they're misled. So Trump and Farage both mislead, as Johnson did, and they all lie, and it's the same as Putin. So it's always the same mechanism, but it takes a very long time to see through it. It's like seeing through advertising. People are still under the spell of advertising for AI and social media and all this kind of things. Everyone's being told that they're inevitable. They're not inevitable at all. It's every form, new form, has to be decided, and so the way that it's rolled out With new technologies. There's a horrible example of the new UN report on Palestine. Yeah, Palestine. Francesca Albanese.
Albanese, right? Yeah.
I mean, she. Have you read the report?
I have not, Graham. Please enlighten us.
Yeah. It. Well, it says it's. What's the word? Yeah, I can't think of the word.
Is it an Australian and therefore possibly unrepeatable?
No, well, the Americans are trying to
Yeah.
ban the word, and they're trying to ban her for making the report. They have banned her. And I think there's evidence that she's being censored on the internet because she's come out and says it's destruction of the whole people of Palestine.
Is she the daughter or spouse of the Australian Prime Minister?
No, no.
Related in some way? No, just the same surname. Yeah.
She's Italian.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I can't think of the words.
it's very early in the morning. In fact, it's the middle of the night for some people, isn't it? I mean, yeah. But these independent voices are. Well, as you know, we are subject to a legal embargo on using the name of a more recent organization. One of my correspondents in another part of the forest said that the day after the ban, another organization with the name of using the name of the person issuing the banning order sprung up, doing exactly the same thing.
Well, and
So it's
that's,
actually called Yvette Cooper.
yeah, well, that's one of the things in this Francesca Albanese report is the use of terrorism organizations. They're misunderstanding terrorism. It's a very particular legal application for terrorists, and of course politicians are misapplying it by not understanding it. So they don't understand the law again, and do a huge amount of damage.
It's interesting that you point this up so eloquently in the context of the sort of parachuting in of things like social media influence, which some people might characterize as a sort of cyber terrorism, as to say the subversion of traditional or established democracy by artificial means.
Yeah, and that's Zuckerberg's argument that we're democratizing the whole world.
That's the
But
again. That's what he said. He was Facebook was doing, didn't he? Yes.
yeah, but there again, it's advertising. It's not informing. It's advertising, selling his technology, and the technology doesn't do what he says it does. So it's a mass form of lying, as advertising, but. Is doing a far more subtle way of doing the damage, the same damage of dividing people. And it's making turning people against each other. All these social media is anti-social media.
I think what it's developed into, I mean, my experience of Facebook is that I've found work through it. I've found relationships through it. It's on the whole, it's been a curate's egg, but quite a positive one.
Well, of
I
course,
don't,
that's
it's unintended consequences, I'll give you, but some of the other platforms, sorry to cut across you there. For example, Musk's takeover of X, which caused the recent resignation of his CEO, and things like the anti-Semitic kidnapping of one of the characters from Sesame Street, on his watch,
yeah.
created a toxicity that was never there before.
Yeah, that's why it's not a simple binary question. I mean, that's what the machine produces binary effects, and of course there are more than binary effects to be had from perception, and this why AI can never overtake the humans, and it's a complete myth that. We're all going to be taken over machines. The only way we're going to be taken over by machines is if we submit to machines. If we all say, "Oh yes, I'll hand all my rights and freedoms over to my machine," then we lose them. That's the point. We lose all these things that we give to the machine. It's the same as you hand it over to a politician to represent you. He goes off and does something totally different, You have to shout out, not in my name, not in my name. I don't want you to do that.
I wonder if ever since the days of the brick phone in the 80s, there hasn't been at least an aspirational pairing of technology with human beings, and rather like the relationship they had with horses in historically, or indeed, say, a shepherd's dog or something. You know, they actually they become, and AA purports to be the right-hand person of your daily doings, doesn't it? How can I help you today?
Yes, it's the same phenomena. People are identifying with the technology. I mean, they identify with the horse.
Invited to,
It's a lot easier to identify with the horse than it is the machine. But and people are hesitant about identifying with machines, quite rightly. It's all about the form in which it's done. I mean, this is why I keep referring to Biden's speech he made to the Knesset. He did say the right thing. He just didn't follow up because he should have enforced the law on Israel, which he could have done. He could have done. He could have stopped it, and he didn't. And I think that he has to take the blame for that. As Trump as is going to have to take the blame, for not stopping it if he doesn't stop it.
I suppose the
Stopping it.
presumption is that Biden has some sort of a conscience, whereas Trump has none.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're subject to an outlaw by definition. He doesn't believe in the law, so he's an outlaw, and so the government has been run by outlaws. They think they can be above the law. They're above the law. They don't obey the law. So,
Quite.
and but the consequences. This is why I go back to the psychoanalysis of the Bible. Is that the Ten Commandments are a set of rules? The first laws, written down, presumably. But the function is not. Not only tell you not what not to do, it's how to survive. It's a law of how to survive. And this is why the civilization collapses if you don't follow the law.
Because the irony is, I mean, if you think of what happens, for example, and this is a more recent phenomenon at the administrative level, say the Church of England, or indeed the Vatican, the way the political model is developed is not a particularly spiritual one.
Well, that was the whole idea, the separation of powers, is so that
Well, indeed, that's true.
be ruled by God. As Ted said to me in a weekend seminar, basically, God is not in my court. It's nothing to do with God in his court. He's making a human judgment. And that's the basic difference with Islamic law is that they try and incorporate it with the government, and that's the basis of all the friction between the Muslim and Christian and Jewish worlds is they have a different idea, a fundamental idea.
It's the margin for interpretation, Graham, isn't it? I mean, I was struck when I lived for a time with the Ahmadiyya Muslims in Southfields, as to how they were coming up with something that regulated their lives, which were, I suppose, somewhat historical in their, the generic behaviour. But there's advice about personal hygiene, about best practice in marriage, and everyday
Your personal
aspects of
thing.
things that is still adhered to, just with some success, I would say. But also, there's a lot that is seems to be imposed by people who declare themselves the apostate of the 21st century version of Islam, jihadism and all that, which doesn't appear in the original text at all, which also, as I understand it, has quite a lot in common with the Old Testament.
That's right. I mean, how many denominations of Christianity are there?
Yeah, one or two.
How many are Christian? But you made the point that your private life could be ruled by religion. I mean that your private freedom is to be run by your own personal God. So
As Dave Allen would concur,
in the
yes,
public sphere, you have to, and it says this in Islam in the Sharia. move to another country, you have to abide by the rules of that country. And it's just, it surprises me that politicians don't use this more often in welcoming the immigrants, for example, or in religious relations.
You know, I think you've hit a very profound point there, Graham, because immediately you get the dog whistle argument about why these people are here taking our jobs, all that malarkey. And the people have noticed that are no doubt feeling a little bit beaten up by all this. There is a sort of a recourse to small cellular communities, which I guess are ripe for exploitation by bad actors. And you end up with people who are displaced, culturally homeless, as I suppose Gazans will to some extent now feel. No
Yeah,
one seems to be in their corner.
I have to qu quote my bad actor theory again.
Yeah, please do.
That the bad actor theory is that any new technology, the first people to use it are the people outside the law, because they don't have to follow the law. I mean, it's more complicated to use the new technology within the law, because the regulations don't exist. So you have to make them up. What is good and bad behavior? So you have to make the decision yourself. And the bad actors just make it on to their benefit against the victims, the abused victims.
And of course, when these things start, they make an impression by appearing to be quite a natural progression, quite naturalistic, and you don't really necessarily have time or take the time to think through the implications of what
That's right.
happens when you with a particular keystroke.
And then the machine, selling the machine, say it's inevitable. You can't do anything against it. Progress is progress, you know. So don't hold us back from taking you over.
It
And
is
then,
very salutary, then, sorry to interrupt you, I mean, to have a technologist such as yourself, an informed, a profound one, saying that progress is a dubious idea.
well, it depends what the progress is. I mean,
Yes, go on, go on.
if you progress backwards, like
Yes.
Johnson, you're not going forward. You know, it's a myth that you're progressing. It's not a progress. So you want to progress, but of course, the problem is in the definition of what is progression. But of course, we want to progress. We want to make things better.
You remind me of my old friend, Nigerian friend Julius, who described reading a particular inside story in the Times, that he was reading the backside of the truth.
Right. Yeah, it's always the secondary level of understanding that's the problem, because always initially, and this is what I try to get out in my talk actually. This is the Saussurean binary, which is consciousness is formed at the point of the signifier turning into the signified. And people don't get this, that their consciousness is being formed instantaneously all the time unless they're asleep, when they go unconscious. And of course, that binary interpretation is the first one. But of course, the signified can be an infinite number of interpretations. So, and that's why the machine interpreter would just interpret what it's being told to interpret, which is a singularity. It can never reach the freedom of the human.
If you think, for example, of how folk songs evolved traditionally, literally were carried on the wind across continents and transformed themselves person to person into entirely different bits of creativity.
As the interpretations change, it's all in the interpretation. But that's the function of art, is to get this collective interpretation. And when everyone appreciates the same piece of music, that's the joy of it, is that we all feel this same way. I always remember the first large meeting of what was called the Alternative Society Underground in the Albert Hall, in 1965, which is to me the beginning of the 60s, as it's known. There was a poetry meeting in the Albert Hall, and everyone was given a flower, which is the beginning of flower power.
The Age of Aquarius, how wonderful. Yeah.
And we went into and listened to Ferlinghetti and all the poets. Mitchell, what was this? I can't remember the poets' names, but but the point was that everyone for the first time realized that there's a lot of people like us, like me, you know. So we're all thinking the same way. And that's how communities are formed, of course.
If you think about poetry, is a sweeping generalization here. We have something called spoken word now, which I think could be very good. We have it on the gym sometimes, but it's not traditionally the same thing as oratory. It's an intimate art. It's on the page, and yet now we have a situation, as you say, back in there in 65, where it's almost poetry as manifesto, as a kind of declaration of or redeclaration of personal agency. Do you think that can happen again, or is it, or does it need to happen again?
Well, rap, I think, yeah,
That's a very astute comparison.
that's a sort of statement, you know, this is the truth.
In its origins, it was quite politicized, wasn't it? Not so much now, and you have to punt around for it.
Well, like woke, a lot of rap is woke. And that came out of Ledbetter, the singer.
Yes, Huey Ledbetter,
In the 20s. You better stay woke.
Good Lord, thank you for reminding us.
He was the first to use that strain. And he was singing about a group of black youths being hung, I think,
As in Strange Fruit, yes, good Lord,
for offending in some minor way a group of white youths who probably tried to attack them. They probably defended themselves and got hung for it.
I have to say, I was quite surprised, given the usual diversity of an American political lineup. Albeit in name only, that the Trump regime was going to be as explicitly racist as this had turned out to be, and of course specifically in the form of all these ICE effectively abductions.
It's and of course not many people read the 600 page Heritage Foundation report that they published what they were going to do before,
Was not easy to get hold of, was it?
and then Trump of course denied it. But they're even leafleting in France.
When you say they,
The Heritage Foundation.
are they? Are they really?
About there's all this new religion, and again, they want to reintroduce Christianity into government, and in the guise of reintroducing spirituality into government, which is
Right.
an entirely separate thing.
There's always a shot, isn't there? Whatever dodgy president praying,
But it always comes down
receiving
to
absolution,
interpretation.
allegedly. Yeah.
Comes down to interpretation, and
Well, yeah. Yeah.
this is why I quote the Lacan. You know, he said, if Freud discovered anything, this is what he discovered, is that point of the creation of consciousness. And so people are not learning from the experts who advance and make progress
Yeah.
in scientific knowledge. And that's the worst of the Trump thing, is they're rejecting expertise.
Public, as I say, the defunding and the sort of chasing away of scientific endeavor and the lack of public access to it. If you think of the magnificent people like Carl Sagan and who's that great physicist who played the bongos? Forgot his name now. Richard,
Feynman.
that's him. You know, these people were consummate communicators, weren't they? And you look around, you don't see these people anymore as public intellectuals. Whereas in France, and I would presume, is this still the case as a Francophile, Graham? These people are still around. People who will actually say, well, if you take a closer look at this, you may notice dot, dot, dot.
Well, Piketty is a prime example, who's always trying to explain economics, and the financial markets and the social interaction of markets, and with science. I mean, he said all the graphs are in there,
Behavioral science and so forth,
but yeah, not. I mean, it's an integrated, interdisciplinary approach.
Imagine a Republican budget proposal informed by behavioral science. It's not going to happen, is it? This was dictated by God, or possibly not.
It's a rejection of science. It's a rejection of religion, a rejection of well, of freedom as well, and ultimately, and that is the fascist credo.
But do you sense, I mean, we were talking about Macron in the UK last week. He's just endorsed a budget proposal from, I think, a leftish, centre-left chancellor. Do you sense political, do you sense a certain pragmatic consensus in France? And is that going to help the case for Europe? I don't know about limping along, but at least achieving a synthesis of best practice.
I think France is a very curious bind. I think, well, you have to say Putin and Xi Jinping have managed to convince the French people against Macron by pointing out all his faults, which is the typical way. And of course, at first reading, it's always true that he is making an enormous amount of faults, like Starmer's making an enormous number of faults, but every politician does. This is the problem. I mean, except the great ones, where you very, very rarely get the great ones.
Or the ones that have it all sort of pre-planned, as you're saying. I mean, where the missteps will be rather welcome under the circumstances. They will inevitably happen and are happening.
They have to have the great plan in the first place, but then they have to communicate it in plain terms, that everyone can understand, and that's the even a greater skill than having the plan in the first place, really.
That's for some people, that's a bit of a lost art because it's all about pragmatism. Where's the vision? Mal would often say. You might be able to join us for a short while, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen. But you know, that's the thing, isn't it? The people criticize Starmer for having this lack of vision, but simply wanting to tidy things up a bit. And increasingly, people are suspecting siphon off a little bit of the good stuff
Well,
for his friends.
and he's making the typical mistakes of not listening to people, but he is trying to listen to people. I think he is trying, and I think hopefully he will develop the communication skills, to get the vision across, and the vision will be good
He
one.
does seem at the moment to be a bit like that Soho landlord in the Coach and Horses. He used to figure out in private eye so often. You're barred, basically. Diane Abbott's gone again. All the people who voted against the welfare bill or tried to moderate its content are off into the wilderness for a bit. And we have the formation of shortly of a rise. And they're crowdfunding at the moment, aren't they? The new left consensus.
You have to because of course you have to be able to get rid of people if they're not within the camp.
Well, we talked about bad actors, but that, you know, that's that the suggestion is that the bad acting is from within and within the people who inform Starmer's decisions, you know, the power brokers.
Yeah, but it's all about what principles are they applying, and are they applying it in fact, rather than in fiction. Farage is
Yeah,
all
quite.
fiction. I mean, like Trump, it's quite foreseeable to see the whole America collapse because of Trump. I mean, to do what he's doing to the American economy, you wonder whether it can withstand it.
Odd, isn't it? I mean, Hayek always talked of creative destruction, didn't he? That's right, credo.
But you can that was meant to just sort of stimulate people and be and to
Yeah.
get rid of the wrong stuff. But of course, it's been misinterpreted as going in and taking the chainsaw to all the institutions,
Yeah,
which
all too literally.
is madness,
Yeah. So
and
you
that's
have
how.
if Texas floods, for example, they're prone to natural disasters in that part of the world, aren't they? And the federal department is deemed to be ineffective before it even makes an intervention. The guy in fronting it is nowhere to be seen.
Because he's been laid off.
Yeah, well, he's not been laid off, but he's just been
Withdraw the
on
funding.
gardening leave, basically. Yeah, till of course his garden catches fire.
It's a myth that you don't need all these institutions.
Yeah.
You have to pay for democracy. Democracy is very expensive. It's a lot more expensive than fascism.
Sort of intellectually expensive as well, isn't it? You need to do the hard yards, think things through.
You're always at a disadvantage because you always have to explain to get agreement, to get consensus, whereas the bully, the outlaw, just has to say, do this. If you don't do this, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, because he may not have entirely have done his research, even though he's got apparently got the Heritage Foundation behind him.
Well, but I think he's working like Hitler worked. Hitler was a very lazy person, apparently. He used to
That's
get up.
surprising because he had this hair shirt reputation, didn't he? No doubt that was all optics.
That's right. They thought he was the ultimate of organization, but he lost the war by bad military tactics. And he used to get up at midday and then make a few decisions by the people who came and fawned around him, and then watch movies in the evening.
That's extraordinary. I mean, and for those people who espouse what he represents to them, I would have thought quite a challenging revelation. Unless, of course, they might say it was some kind of mystic sort of a Caucasian trance.
Well, I think you're getting the same kind of organization in the White House.
Yeah.
You get Trump, he's just signing all this stuff. He doesn't know what he's signing. But all these people around him, from the Heritage Foundation, that they are trying to think what he wants, exactly the same as Hitler, with
Yeah.
Goebbels and so on. They're all thinking,
What
oh,
buttons
well,
can we press, to get the joy buzzer? Yeah.
so they were making all the proposals to him and hoping that he would say yes.
What do you make of the purported Musk-Trump divide?
Well, that's the first one that's bust up in a way. And I'm sure Musk is having a big rethink about his fascism, hopefully.
It's not coming up with something even worse.
His technology apparently is. I mean, it's now finally he's
Oh, dear.
been unable to suppress all the horrendous crashes and people being burnt alive in his cars,
Yeah.
out of them and they can't escape and all the rest of it. So in the end, that's why fascism doesn't work. Is you need collective decisions to make the best decision. In the de design, if a designer is just doing his own, I mean, you have to take all the information from everywhere. If you close yourself off and think, well, I have the information, obviously you don't get as a good enough design at the end because it only addresses some of the information and not all of the information. There
It's
is a
the, isn't it?
relation to this effect of how much information the solution addresses.
So, in
For
order, as it were, to inform a general public echo chamber,
well,
but the complicit parts of the media and so forth, you still have to have all the facts in front of you in order to deselect some of them.
well, if you think of the number of information points that the Desert Cloud has to address, it has to work in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
has to address the whole of the atmosphere. If it ignores part of the atmosphere, like the water in the atmosphere, for example, then it doesn't work. It becomes a beautiful object because it works.
It's a metaphor for democracy, is what you're saying as well, isn't it?
I'm hoping great. I'm great.
Yeah. Long may, hopefully, will it fly again in the near future? I mean, it's quite an
Well, this
enterprise.
is the exhibition with the exhibition tour with Pompidou and Louvre.
Ah.
Is
So it's
it,
going around France in
it's
probably
getting
quite
back.
timely fashion, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's another exhibition in the regions, but no, the Pompidou is closing for 5 years, so we're doing it in Pompidou Metz. That's the plan, but I think it's going to have to get the agreement of the security services, because I haven't been aware. This is an example of what I just said.
Yeah.
I was completely unaware of the sort of military significance of my work, and I've always held it against the secret services for monitoring me, but I mean, in a way, they were legitimately monitoring me because there was military implications in the stuff I was designing.
There were the people might the, I make this sort of specious comparison with those mysterious allegedly Chinese balloons that were flying over Washington State last
Exactly.
year.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
What is this thing actually for, you know?
And it can obviously be used for surveillance. And telecommunication and satellite communications, the whole thing, for platforms in space.
Has any mysterious man in shades come up to you and said, Mr. Stevens, we could make you an offer you need not refuse?
Yeah, well, the Russians invited me to Russia, of course,
Right. You saw it coming.
to rebuild airships. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you're enthusiastic about the idea, but perhaps, what's the word I'm looking for? 2020 about the people who might be pursuing it and to what end?
Yeah, I mean, originally, I remember meeting a Russian ambassador at school. The school invited one to the, and I saw him in London, because it was very interesting about East and West and all that sort of thing. We were debating it in the school debating society. Who
Did you
knows?
feel with a certain a degree of freedom?
Well, no, I was totally gullible and set up and believing what I was being told. I mean, that's the gap between the reality and the propaganda. And it's a very difficult leap to make,
Yeah.
which a lot of voters don't make.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it, to transcend the sort of cartoon baddie image that Russia has been living up to in recent years to the nuances of the culture, and how it was intended to thrive.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about the difference that you could say the difference between democracy and fascism is nuance.
Graham, what a fascinating point on which to pause. Thank you very much indeed for your time. Have a great weekend.
And you.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.